Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Next month is 5 years since the Boxing Day tsunami shocked the world.
No one saw it coming until it was too late, and there were no warning systems in any of the places struck.
The 9.0 earthquake that caused a nearly 700-mile stretch of seabed to shift 50 feet. A sudden jolt that displaced a massive wall of water, moving at the speed of a jetliner through the deep oceans, undetectable on the surface until it reached the shallow coastal waters and welled up into a 20-foot monster that just kept rushing inland. First in Sumatra, the island closest to the epicenter, that was moved 100 feet to the southwest, an entire island moved by the force of the quake, and then sweeping east and west across the vast Indian Ocean. 8 hours and 3,000 miles later, still moving at the speed of 375 miles an hour as it slammed into Africa, inundating the coast of Somalia. The finale of a seismic event so powerful it even disturbed the Earth's rotation.
Of the 200,000 estimated deaths, almost a third of these came from one small city, Bandar Aceh, in Sumatra, Indonesia. 5 years on, I visited Bandar Aceh to see how the city has recovered after losing one in three of its residents. In this first of a series of reports, I speak to two locals who are now directly involved in growing Aceh's embryonic tourism industry. The first is Ramadani, who works with the Aceh Tourism Office.
Aceh has their own beauty. You know, we have a greater culture, great culture, beautiful island, and then we have, you can enjoy the history dated long time ago, and also we have tsunami tourism, and I believe that you cannot find in other places. What I mean tsunami tourism, that will be another icon of our tourism. So by coming to Aceh, you can enjoy the beauty, the nature, and also you can learn how tsunami happened in Aceh and how our people survive, and then how Acehese people get resilient during the tsunami. So that will be another attraction when you come to Aceh. Even you can talk to the people who are affected during tsunami. You know, tragedy has brought a significant impact to Aceh people. You know, it's very hard to tell that many people lost their member of families. You know, today we still experience the tragedy. For example, there are still our member of family, you know, feeling the missing of their family's member.
In Bandar Aceh, in fact, it's hard to find anyone who wasn't affected by the tsunami. One person who knows that feeling more than most is Totok, a local tour operator.
My name is Totok from Bandar Aceh. Yeah, before tsunami, we have a travel agent also. But when tsunami came, everything was gone. My son, my daughter, yeah, we left two, me and my wife only. And then my office also broken. Everything was lost. So with...
Many people say, I think even you said, when you look at Bandar Aceh now, it's better than it was before. You know, there's new roads, big airport. But you lost your children. Many people have lost their children. Is that pain still there in Bandar Aceh?
Yeah, there was maybe 1 year or 2 years after tsunami, they lost the spirit of life. It showed that. But after that, many visitors, many volunteer from overseas come to build capacity building, some of them, and then they rebuild the houses, they built the road or something like that. And Bandar Aceh looks nice city. And then so many of them that can make the spirit of life, spirit of how to go the future. Yeah, that's why you see right now Bandar Aceh is, I think, is one of developed city in Sumatra maybe.
But people still remember though?
Yeah, of course, some of them they still remember. Yeah, especially before Ramadan arrived, like 1 month before, they came to the mass grave. They don't know where is their family, but they know this is mass grief.
The tsunami is not the first issue that Aceh has had to deal with. For the 3 decades before the tsunami, it struggled with constant civil war between the separatists and the Indonesian government.
So before was very bad. Before was very bad. It was a very, very bad history in Aceh. That, you know, the conflict was very bad over the last three decades. And at that time, you know, nobody, especially international tourism, could come to Aceh. It was closed at all. You know, then we couldn't imagine that a big, big tsunami happened. So this is a new era at that time. So when the tsunami happened in Aceh, and then killed thousands and thousands of people of Aceh at that time, and then we tried to sit down together, state government, local government, tried to focus on how to resolve the problem. We should do the reconstruction for Aceh, but we couldn't do the reconstruction if we have no commitment for peace. You know, at the final stage, you know, we try to have a peace. So when we have the peace, you know, we try to focus on reconstruction. So we try to reconstruct Aceh in all aspects of life. And then one of the issues that we need to do is how to promote Aceh tourism. So this is a new era.
Bandar Aceh's drive to become a popular seaside spot for Western tourists belies the fact that it is actually one of the most conservative Muslim parts of Indonesia. However, as Totok says, this is not as strange as it might seem.
Not so contradictive.
Yeah.
I said that not so contradictive. The Aceh people is welcome with the Western people, as you know. But we must also keep off clothes. Yeah, we impossible to use short or backless. In town maybe, but in the beach it's okay. And the place where the people came to holiday or to recreation is okay. Yeah, as I know, Aceh is majority Muslim, but our Muslim is different, like Taliban, maybe, as you know, Taliban or something like that. Not so.
Ramadani agrees that Islam is not a problem and says there are still other issues they need to deal with.
What's the biggest barrier to getting tourists to come to Aceh, do you think? What's your biggest struggle?
You know, the impact of conflicts, that will be another issue over the last 3 decades. You know, they are still thinking that that can happen someday. But I would be happy to say that peace will be forever in Aceh.
In future reports, I'm going to be looking at the impact of the tsunami on the environment and the humanitarian organisations who went there. Coming up after the break, we're privileged to be joined in the studio by Dave Dobbin.